Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Psychology Has It Backwards. I'm Judy Sedgman, and I'm coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm fortunate to be doing this with my, I can't believe how long we've been doing these, with my partner and friend and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful colleague.
Christine Heath, coming to you from the island of Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii. In the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
No big waves, though, yet.
They're bigger. They're getting there, but usually. I was just thinking that I think this is our third year of doing this.
Getting into our third year.
Yeah, and we started in December, I think. Mm-hmm. And so this is our third year, and we have been ranked in 108, or I think ranked in 108 countries, and we've had hundreds of thousands of downloads, at least 400,000 downloads of these episodes. So we're really happy.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. This is in the last year, we had 118,000. So I think the first year we had a little bit more. So almost four, no, maybe not quite 400, but I'm going to have one of my interns like check it out and see really what it is. But it's amazing to me that many people were interested in what we had to say, because it's pretty ordinary stuff for me anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're very grateful, and we're also very grateful to hear from people. And we try, if you suggest a topic or something that's, you know, on your mind that you don't feel we've talked about, feel free to let us know, because we never seem to run out of topics, but, you know, we're always happy to respond to topics from listeners or people that, you know, have heard about our podcast and wish we would talk about one thing or another.
Mm-hmm. And if you submitted one before and you don't think we covered it very well, let us know. We're happy to revisit anything.
Yes. Well, today, you know, I've been reflecting quite a bit on the fact that so many of my clients over time have misunderstood Sydney Banks' admonition to us all to just be ordinary, just be who you are, just be ordinary. Because the word ordinary, I think, is somewhat polluted in common usage, in the sense that, you know, the opposite is extraordinary, which is special. And people would much rather be special. And ordinary has this feeling of, commonplace or not so great, or sometimes people think ordinary means mediocre. And that isn't the usage that Sid had in mind at all when he used the word ordinary. It really goes back, now I'm sure he didn't think this through or look it up, but I can tell you that Sid's use of language was always very, you'd look up a word that he used and wonder why he used it. And if you look up the word's meaning in the dictionary and the history of the word, you think, oh my God, it was perfect. So I've been kind of looking into ordinary. And, you know, the origin of the word ordinary is a Latin word for the order of things. Things being in orderly way, you know, as they should be. And I thought to myself, oh, there you go again. It was perfect. Because the message of the principles is that before we start thinking, we all have exactly the same gifts. The ordinary state of human being is innate mental health. The ordinary state of human being is peace of mind. The ordinary state of human beings is, and then what we revert to, our default, if we stop overthinking, is happiness, contentment. And so when Sid would say to us, just be yourself, just be ordinary, he meant just be the person that you were born to be, without all the personal thinking that we're capable of doing because we have free will. And I had a whole new appreciation for I mean, I kind of always knew that when he said that. I never thought he meant be mediocre or don't try or things like that. But I always thought, well, ordinary, okay. But when I started looking into it, I thought that is such a beautiful statement of how we come into the world fully equipped to lead a happy life. That the gifts of the mind, consciousness, and thought are the gifts that allow us to create whatever we want to create or whatever we see to create. But it also allows us, if we get off track and create something that's causing pain to others or ourselves, to stop and think again, go back before thought to that quiet state in which we're ordinary and allow our minds to think again. And that's the gift of change. That's the gift that allows us to grow. It's the gift that allows us to discriminate, I guess, when we feel like we're getting off track and say, it's okay. It doesn't mean we're bad people. You know, if we get off track, it just means that we've lost that power of thought to realize that we can start over. We don't have to keep going down this path if we don't like it. So I just have a whole new appreciation for that advice. And I think it's it plays out in real life, because I've had clients who say, well, I don't want to be ordinary. I want to be a special, you know, I want to be especially good, or I want to train for the Olympics. Well, that's great. That has nothing to do with your state of well-being. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that can do well at the Olympics if they've got stuff on their minds. Mm-hmm. Distracting them from the one purpose they have at that moment. And in an ordinary state of mind, we'd be at peace. We'd start from peace and go from there, you know, get the thoughts from wisdom that we need. Mm-hmm. So it's taken on a kind of special meaning for me.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that happened in the field of psychology as we have gotten evolved into the world of diagnoses, is that makes people special in a negative way. I've got this problem. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, we're like feeding that sense of being different. And what ordinary does is it helps us to see that nobody's different. They just use the gift of thought in a way that's not healthy or is healthy. The way they're using the gifts of mind, thought, and consciousness is a way that they're designed or not designed, depending on how they're using it, right? Mm-hmm. So when people get a diagnosis, they start thinking that there's something different about them. Well, I have anxiety. Well, I have depression. Well, I am this kind of person. And when I was a therapist before I started learning this, when I first started learning this, you know, that sense of being special in a negative way was really prominent in my mind. I mean, I thought that somehow when God passed out the goodness, I was behind the door and missed out on it. But when you think of it, it's a very special kind of situation to think that somehow you are so bad that God would have like treated you differently than other people. I mean, really, it's an ego thing, the way that we're trying to be special so that we can feel good. And I think that in the world that we live in addition to the way that psychology has focused on having these specialness that are means there's something wrong with you, through the internet and through the way that we communicate, people have gotten into thinking that being special, being famous, is like going to make them a better person or make them happier. You know, you see people that are like, you know, people that do the shootings, you know, where they go in and shoot a bunch of people. And frequently they'll say, well, they wanted to be remembered. They wanted people to remember. They don't care why they're remembered, but there's something about thinking that you should be that important, that people would remember you, is something that feeds an ego. And then we strive to be better than other people in that way. We strive to be different in a positive way. And you can see that when people think they're great at something, and that's an ego trip on their part, And, or they think they're a piece of crap. They always say it's like being the, thinking you're the center of the crap universe. You know, like it's the same thing. It's just this, it's like a quarter. It's the flip side of the same coin. Mm-hmm. It's seeing that somehow you are separate from the whole, that you are different from other people. And either in a positive way or a negative way, it creates insecurity. And the insecurity is what creates your problems and your suffering. And so when I was trying to be healthy, but thinking that I was unhealthy because of all these things I thought, it was a struggle. I was always trying to searching for somebody who would tell me how to be a good person, who would tell me how to be special in a good way. You know, like I thought that was the antidote for special in a negative way. And people that get focused on being special in a good way have to keep doing it. They got to keep succeeding. They have to do better. I mean, you can see as people get older that they were very famous and then they get old and they retire and they're nobody. And suddenly they're depressed because they don't have that outside in affirmation that they're a worthy person. So when Sid told me, he called me up when I first met him and said, would you like me to help you? And I said, oh, absolutely. And he said, okay, well, just be you. Just be ordinary. And when he said, just be you, I thought, well, who the heck is that? I've been trying to figure that out my whole life. And then I was like, just be ordinary. Then there was this wave of relief that went through me. Mm-hmm. And I got it. And I was like, oh, yeah. I am making myself be special in a negative way. And I'm just a regular person. Mm-hmm. I'm just an ordinary person like everybody else. And we're all the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great when you said that. I thought of the one time that I was early on in my learning about the principles. I gave up a kind of a different life, and I was a CEO of a company, and I'd been very successful in a lot of different things I'd done, and I was kind of in my little world, you know, important. I mean, it wasn't true, but you know, that's how I felt. And I took on this quest to understand the principles deeper and really get behind this, because I could see, even though it had affected me deeply, I could see how much more there was that I didn't know, but I still had a lot of shadows, you know, in my mind from the past. And I got, I got thinking, I guess one day, like, you know, everybody in the beginning, they would say ego and insecurity are the same thing. Ego is just what you think about yourself. And if what you think about yourself isn't good enough, or is too this or too that, like you're too fat or too thin, or you're not, you start judging yourself or other people, that you, you know, it's just another form of insecurity. And I did that. I got, you know, thinking I'll never make it. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to see this like these other people are seeing it. I can't talk like they talk. And I was getting really freaked out. And I called Sid and said, so Sid, when you think of me, like, how do you think of me? Like, what do you think? What do you think I am? And he said, oh, just like everybody else, dearie, just like everybody else. And then there was this silence, and I suddenly, it just occurred to me, oh, right. You know, it's like when Chris talked about that sense of relief, when he said, just like everybody else, I realized that the piece that had fallen out of the puzzle in my mind was, all human beings psychologically are the same. The thing that differentiates us is how we're using our thinking in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I was just making myself different, mm-hmm, in the moment, just excluding myself from the people that I wanted to be a part of because I thought I was different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I honestly, that is the most healing. I think it's one of the most healing realizations that people have as they get connected with the three principles, is that you don't have to be special in anyone's mind, including your own, to have a beautiful life. Mm-hmm. that happiness is an inside job, and you don't need any, you don't need affirmation. You don't need people falling all over you. You don't need people, you know, calling you great. And all of those things, you think about the number, I've thought so often of the number of young artists, singers and dancers and rock stars and people who have started out as children, this innocent, you know, started very young and been tremendously successful. And, you know, all of a sudden they have a drug problem and they're having difficulty and they lose their confidence. And then they're, you know, they attempt their life and things like that. And I think, you know, that's really what happens when when people don't understand the difference between ordinary and they're sure that the fact that nothing that you do in life changes that. Mm-hmm. You always have that to fall back on, that you're still the thinker who creates your experience. And that no matter what you've done in life, you know, that's fleeting. It's moment to moment. And what you're doing now is the only thing that matters. That's where your joy is.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the other thing I was thinking of is that, you know, in psychology, when people have negative thinking about themselves and they think that they're special in a negative way, what we've kind of done is had people talk about that more. You know, like, let's talk about what's wrong with you. Let's talk about the past. Let's go into the past because you're caught up in the past, and that, and it looks like that. You know, people come in and they start talking about the past, and it looks like that is indeed the source of your unhappiness. Mm-hmm. So it was natural, without an understanding of the inside out nature of creation, that we would then talk about what happened in the past and try to process it in a way that people could think about it differently. And unfortunately, thinking can never create happiness except for temporarily, right? So if, like we got we had a contract and the people that we did it for said they had extra money and they'd like to pay us more because they know that we did more work than we got paid for. And I was like, yeah, I was really happy about that. You know, that was a great thing. And if I got that every day, I'd be really happy about that. But if it stopped, then I'd be unhappy, right? Because now that source of my happiness would be gone.
Right.
So you can become very happy. You know, people get involved with different groups and different organizations and they like find themselves, right? They fall into a nice feeling and people tell them that they're wonderful and they're loved. Like when people go to AA, sometimes that happens. They'll go to a meeting and everybody will tell them they're good and that they can make it and they can do it. And while they're there, they get that feeling, but it's an outside in thing, mm-hmm. right? If it doesn't shift and go to the inside where you see that you're ordinary and that's good, that's ordinary and it's the way we all are. You got to keep hearing it. You know, it's like you have to have more people adoring you. You have to have more people telling you how wonderful you are. Like I have a client that was really mad because her husband stopped telling her all the time how gorgeous she was. And she said, well, how can I feel pretty if he never tells me that? Hmm. And I was like, well, you have to see that for yourself. You have to see that you're a beautiful person. You have to see that you're loved. You have to do that. And trying to convince yourself is not going to work, because if you think that you're a piece of crap and you get up every morning, and my friend would get up every morning and she'd do that affirmations thing you were talking about. So she'd look at the mirror and say, I'm a good person. I am loved. And she had like so many notes, little stickies on her mirror. She couldn't see the mirror anymore. Which was interesting because it was such a metaphor for the thought of being okay rather than seeing that she was okay. Now, if you see that you're okay and that's just ordinary, it's not special, that will give you whatever you need. You don't have to keep telling yourself that every day. But if you have a belief that you're not okay and you're trying to counterbalance it with more positive beliefs, is that better than hanging on to the negative one solely? Yes, it is. But you can go deeper than that. And you cannot find inner peace and happiness through thinking. It doesn't happen that way. Yep. It's a shift in a state of mind. So when you shift over into a healthier state of mind, you automatically feel at peace. You automatically feel good. But you don't blame it on somebody or something that happened to you. It's like you realize when you drop into that state of mind that that's you. Like when that happened for me, it was like, oh, I'm this, and that's all thought. Mm-hmm. Now, that one little insight has stayed with me for 45 years. I haven't, you know, I got upset for a week or two once, but, you know, like I get upset for things, but I get over it because I know even when I'm upset that I'm thinking about myself in a way that's making me special. Mm-hmm. Right. And that my health is in there and I can go back to it and be okay. Mm-hmm. But you can't trick yourself. You can't trick yourself by telling yourself what a good person you are and then get an insight from that. You have to see that you're ordinary, and that's a beautiful thing. That's the best gift you could ever give yourself. So if you've got to do that cognitively, you're trying to convince yourself that you're okay. Again, is that better than only thinking about what a piece of crap you are? Yes, it'll make you feel better. And hopefully if you feel better, you'll do less thinking about that and maybe you'll shift over into a healthier state of mind. Because that's what happens when you do that. All of a sudden you touch a deeper feeling. But if you blame it on the technique, mm-hmm. then you'll be controlled by that technique for the rest of your life. And eventually your thinking will probably take over again.
You know, sadly, as I get older, I'm aware of other people in my age group, obviously. And, you know, I know of a person who reached the age I am now. And this person had been gorgeous. You know, one of those people that in college, she was a beauty queen and a cheerleader, and in high school, and everybody always said how gorgeous she was. And she maintained her gorgeousness throughout her life. She worked out. She took care of herself. She did whatever she needed to do. I don't know, but maybe even plastic surgery and things to stay young. But, you know, sooner or later, gravity and time takes over. You can't fight it any longer. And, you know, she actually committed suicide because she couldn't. And the thing that she told her friends as she was getting depressed is, I just don't want to be old. I can't imagine myself as an old person. Now, she was a gorgeous older person. I mean, if she was like sitting in a nursing home chatting with people, they'd be looking at her saying, my God, she's so attractive. You know, for her age, she looks amazing. But she didn't see it that way. And also, she had so identified herself with her beauty that she didn't realize that her friends, the people that really cared about her, that wasn't it. That wasn't what attracted them to her. She was a lovely person.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you don't know that you're just a good person inside and you have an image of yourself that you're trying to maintain, that's the kiss of death. You know, it just doesn't, it's self-destructive without anyone meaning it to be self-destructive, because we can't stop time and we can't stop change and we can't stop and we can't control what other people think or say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can decide the path that we want to take in life and how we want to think about ourselves. And that's what's going to make the difference. Mm-hmm. Do I wake up in the morning? And for me, it's always knowing, am I really going to spend my day brooding about where I am in life? Or am I going to spend my day in service to others and having a nice life, reaching out to people and, you know, being a friend and being in service? Mm-hmm. You know, not to my ego, but to the idea of creating joy in life.
Mm-hmm. You know, even as many of you know, Sidney Banks was called himself a theosopher, but he was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't really, you know, he was just an ordinary guy. And he happened to drop into a deep state of consciousness where he saw that our experience of reality is created by three principles: mind, thought, and consciousness. Now, it was the most extraordinary thing in the world that happened to him. But he was the most ordinary human being to this day that I've ever known.
Yeah.
That, you know, like he would work really hard at not allowing people to make it be about him, because he saw the danger in that, that people, it would be part of the outside world, even if it was a positive thing in the outside world. So, you know, so that happens with people. They meet people that are charismatic and they tell them how, you know, wonderful they are, and they get in a beautiful feeling, but then they make it be about that person. Like sometimes that happens with therapists, right? Is that the client thinks that the therapist is making them happy. I mean, I have to, you know, I bend over backwards to remind people that it's not about me. Because if that was true, every person I'd see would be changed in one sense. And I would have changed the world already. And it doesn't happen like that. And it's not about me. All I can do is point people in the general direction and hope that that health that's in them will come forth. But when you make it be about anybody else, even if they're in a beautiful feeling, even if they're the most loving person in the world, you're missing the boat, because that feeling that you're feeling isn't coming from them. That's coming from you. And that's yours no matter what happens to them. Right. I mean, you know, like they can pass away, like Sidney Banks passed away. He's long dead and gone. And we were talking about this. He wasn't always loving. He was very quick to stop anybody that made it be about him, that made him be a guru, that made him be made it be about him, because he saw the damage that that would do to people. So, you know, that's the thing, is just don't make it be about you. Just realize that you're just an ordinary person. And if you fell into a more beautiful feeling, bless your heart. Be grateful and know that you fell into yourself. Mm-hmm. That's just your true self. Mm-hmm. And that's inside of you all the time. It never leaves you. And nobody can give it to you. Because believe me, if they could, I'd have figured out a way.
Me too. Yeah. And you know, the best part is that it's natural, that as soon as we quiet our thinking down, that's what we default to. Yeah. So you don't have to strive to rediscover your peace of mind and your ordinary state. It's where you fall to. Mm-hmm. As soon as you quiet down all those raging thoughts about, oh, I'm not important enough, or I'm too important, or I'm sick and different and I'll never be the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are just ego thoughts.
Yeah.
But when your mind is free and clear, you're a happy person. It's natural to be a happy person. Mm-hmm. And I've seen I've seen so many clients who thought they had been depressed for years and had seen a lot of therapists and taken a lot of medication. And they just thought there was something flawed about them, that they were destined for a lifelong depression. And, you know, I would talk to them, you know, like we're talking on this tape, and all of a sudden they'd have a moment, not a long time, but they'd have a moment where they saw it. Mm-hmm. And they would go, oh my God, look what I've been doing to myself. You know, that I just can't even believe it. And I had this client who said she was in the middle of a department store and she saw it. She just was looking at the little children and the joy about Christmas and all of the things going on. She got in this beautiful state of mind. And suddenly she realized, there's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I'm just like them. I was a child once and I used to feel like I used to do the same thing, climb up on Santa's lap. And she said she just felt free for the first time in years. Now, that had nothing to do with me and had nothing to do with Santa.
Or shopping.
It had to do with the fact that she just dropped into a nice state of mind. She got distracted from her thinking momentarily by a happy circumstance. And then when her head cleared, she went right to happiness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she said, will it last? And I said, you know, it won't, because no state of mind is forever. But you now you know what it is. And you know that it's very simple. Mm-hmm. And you know it's part of you. Mm-hmm. And then so it'll come back. It'll always come back.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing, isn't it? That it always comes back. You just have to remember it's not out there.
Nope.
That nobody can give it to you. What you're seeing is thought. Mm-hmm. Just relax and let it come out of you and trust that you don't need somebody else to tell you what to do in life.
Yeah. Or to tell you how great you are.
Or to tell you how great you are. Or to tell you what a piece of crap you are. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's kind of like it's recognizing that it's all thought and there's nothing wrong with you. But you want to turn your head in the direction of expressing love, feeling love, giving love, and creating a beautiful life. It kind of reminding yourself that that's the direction you want to go, because we all get turned around, like, you know, and then you're like, oh, whoops, am I having fun yet? And you go back to having fun and enjoying yourself and knowing that we all go through ups and downs. We all have, we all think that we're different in some way, shape, or form, but just trust yourself. Like, your inner self knows. Listen to yourself.
Well, with that, we wish you all a very happy new year this year. And we're going to have a lot of fun with you in 2024, we hope. So take care.
Aloha.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.